We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
Sometimes, just let's look on the spiritual level. How many times have you seen people that have come into churches and they seem to be the nicest people in the world and they're talented and they can sing or they can play guitar or they can play piano, and we bring them into the church, we let them start doing things, we uplift them spiritually, but they haven't reached the point where they can handle it, and they fall. And that's more our fault than theirs. Our God knows what we can handle. And so as we can handle more, He gives us more. As we show God that we can handle the tithe, and we grow closer through the windows of heaven being opened, as we show God that we listen and He says, I need you to help this person, I need you to do this, and we do that offering, then God starts to increase with the first fruit. And you'll find that it'll start small. It'll start small. I had a pastor I was listening to once that he was saying that he never even understood what he was doing. He would get paid for preaching in churches. And they would go to pay him, and he would just say, no, the Lord has told me this person needs it more. And he would give it. Then when he'd go preaching again, all of a sudden he'd get double what he got on the last one. He didn't understand what was going on. What was going on was God gave him a first fruit increase, and without knowing what he was doing, he just turned around and gave that increase to the Lord, to a godly man. And then when he came back around to the next increase, it was twice as much. And that's the way God works. He sometimes doesn't even let us know what we're doing. He just gives us an opportunity to do it and puts a still small voice in the back of our heads. You all have heard that voice. That voice that urges you to help someone. That voice that gives you a feeling deep down inside you need to go feed someone. You need to fix somebody's car. You need to help Pastor and Kathy for a vacation like we did. That's the voice for the offering. But God can also use that voice for a first fruit that you don't even know you're giving. And if you go through and give it, the next one will be greater. That's how the increase comes, through the first fruit. Let's look at Leviticus, back in Leviticus chapter 2. You don't have to go very far. I made this one quick. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 12. As an offering of the first fruits, you may bring them to the Lord, but they shall not be offered on the altar for a pleasing odor. Do you understand what God's saying there? God went through in Leviticus, the book of Leviticus is a book of a lot of offerings, cereal, grain, sin, uncleanliness. There's hundreds of offerings. What does he say about the first fruit offering? He says, as for the first fruit offering, you can bring that unto the Lord, but don't burn it on that sacrifice. Don't give it as a sacrificial offering. What he's telling you there is that the first fruit offering belongs always to the Lord. It has to be, and we're going to go in here and show you where the Bible says it should go. Well, there's a specific place the first fruit offering is supposed to go. And I think this is one reason a lot of people don't talk about this, because it gets misinterpreted. Let's look at Ezekiel. Let's keep going back. We'll go to Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel, I lost you. Ezekiel, chapter 20. Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 40. Here's the spiritual blessing of the first fruits. Okay, chapter 20, verse 40. One off. There you go. For on my holy mountain, the mountain heights of Israel, says the Lord God, there are the houses of Israel, all of them shall serve me in the land. Therefore I will accept them, and I will require your contributions, and the Revised says your choicest gifts. The King James says the first fruits of your oblations, which means the first fruits of your gifts. I have to praise God for concordances, because I'll tell you, I wouldn't have known what an oblation was without having to go back to the Greek, which says a gift to God. So God is saying here, from on my holy mountain, the mountain heights of Israel, says the Lord God, there are all the house of Israel, all of them, shall serve me in the land, and there I will accept them, and there I will require your contributions, your gifts and offerings, and your first fruits. God's saying here that he's talking about all of Israel, but on top of that, he's saying, on my highest mountain, my highest plain, that's where I'm taking you up to. That's where I took Israel up to. But still, as you're there, I still require your offerings and your first fruits. But he says, I will accept them. I will accept them as what? Sweet. Sweet incense to me. A sweet offering to me. Now, in Deuteronomy, I'm going to send you back the other way. Deuteronomy, we find what I was saying earlier. Deuteronomy chapter 26. We find what I was saying earlier. In verse 10, the Lord says, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and statutes, which I am now enjoying. That's 27. Go to 26, Jay. My wife keeps telling me I need to get new glasses. I tell her I can do that and see, but obviously it's not working as good as it used to. Deuteronomy 26:10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the ground which the Lord has bestowed upon me, and set the basket down before the Lord. Bow in worship before the Lord your God, and rejoice because of all the goodness which the Lord your God has heaped upon you and your house. He's saying there, where'd the first fruit offering come from? Like I said before, from the Lord. I am giving him the first fruits of which he gave to me. But on top of that, he's saying, I'm giving this in worship and rejoicing because of why? What does he say here? Rejoice because of all the goodness which the Lord your God has what? Heaped upon you and your house. Now, if the first fruits offering was just like a tithe or just like an offering, why would we be hearing all the way through these verses, I am rejoicing because of the goodness that the Lord has put upon me and because of all the things he's heaped upon me? To increase. Not only the increase of materials, but the increase of spiritual. Anytime we get into doing all of what God wants, we get into his will. Jesus' prayer, model prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the Lord's will for us? To follow his precepts. The more we follow his precepts, the more we become in his will. The more we become in the will, the more we become like God, the more God does what? Blesses us. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that I bow down and worship you, Lord, because he's already given. Behold, I have brought the first fruits of the ground, which the Lord has bestowed on me. Now I bow down and worship before you, Lord, and rejoice because of all the goodness which you have, your Lord, your God, has heaped upon you and your house. Okay. So, the first fruit comes from God. God gives it to us. Let's think here. We know so far that the tithe and the offering do what? They bring us back to where we were, right? And the tithe has a spiritual end in which they were a promise. The Lord says, test me in this. Go through your Bible. Look up if you have a Bible program. The word test, try. You will not find it anywhere else where God says, try me. You will fall. Do not test the Lord. Do not try the Lord. There's one area where it says, do not say that burden is of the Lord. Well, basically, Jay paraphrasing, I'll show you what a burden is. But this is the only place in the Bible where God says, try me. See what I'll do. I'll rebuke the devourer. You know, I have five believing children because I tithe. I don't have five believing children because of Jay's ability to preach the gospel or talk to them. I honestly believe I have five believing children because I tithe. Because God said, I'll rebuke the devourer. Who's going to take away your children? Satan is. Your children aren't going to be taken away from you by the TV set. They ain't going to be taken away by someone else. Your children are going to be taken away from you by the devourer. And I will rebuke you, the devourer, for you. I will open the windows of heaven. There's even a place in the Bible, and I forgot to bring that one scripture, in the New Testament, where we are told we will experience healing and health if we give to the Lord the offerings, the tithes, and the first fruits. God is not a God of lies. God is a God of promises that will be fulfilled if we have the keys to fill them. But if we don't study His Word in depth, what did Jesus say about the Holy Ghost to us? He said He's the Comforter. But what else more important is He? The Instructor. Who do you think opens the Scripture? If you open this book and just sit there and stare at it, and you don't pray, and you don't ask the Lord, or you don't ask the Holy Ghost to enlighten you, what are you going to get out of this book? It's going to be a pretty little book. But God sent the Holy Ghost down to instruct, to fill our minds full, to bring these things back to us. Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll say. If you're before man, if you're arrested, if you're before the court, don't worry about what you're going to say to them. I have given you the Holy Ghost to what? To give you the words when you need them. That's part of the blessing. Now, the question then is, where does the first fruit offering go? We know that God says in Malachi, the tithes and offerings, the two parts, go into what? God's storehouse. Give your tithes and offerings to God's storehouse. Now, this is where a lot of people get out of bed, out of shape right here. And I'm going to read this next verse, and you can read it with me, but don't get bent out of shape just yet. But this is where a lot of people get out of bent out of shape about the first fruits offering. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35-39. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35-39. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground, the first fruits of all fruit of every tree, year by year, to the house of the Lord. Also to bring to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons, our cattle. It is written in the law, the firstlings of our herds and our flocks, to bring the first of our course meal and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, wine, oil, to the priests, to the chambers of the house of God. Bring it to the Levites, the tithes from your ground, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in our royal towns. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes, and the Levites shall bring the tithes in the storehouse of the gods, the chambers of the storehouses. So where is the first fruit supposed to go? Go to the priest, right? We don't have a priest. Oops. Blew that one. How are we going to keep first fruits? It's got to go to the priest. We don't have a priest. Who's our priest? Jesus is the high priest. Now here's the fine splitting here. Okay? First fruit offering goes to the priest and into the house of God. Now in our case, who's the priest? The only priest we have, high priest, is Jesus. But who's the man of God in our life? Pastor Yabara. That's the man of God in your life and mine. Now, the first thing people say, and let's read the next verse, and then we're going to go on to that one. Let's read Ezekiel 44:30. And I want to read this one before we discuss this. Ezekiel 44:30. I got to get going here. I'm running out of time, and I got a couple more verses. I don't want to keep you too long tonight because we've got ice cream and cake. The last thing we want to miss is that ice cream. And the first of all the first fruits of all kinds and every offering of all kinds and from your offering shall belong to the priest, and you shall also give to the priest the first of your course meal. Now get this. This is important. That a blessing may rest upon where? Your house. Now everybody gets hung up on this. They say, wait a minute, I'm not going to make the man of God rich. So think about it. You're giving the man of God one first fruit, and the rest you get to keep. And if you give the man of God that first fruit, God says he's going to do what on your house? He's going to put what on your house? A blessing. You can't outgive God. We've already proven that. It's in the scriptures. You can't outgive God. Therefore, if you ever run into anybody that gets into the mentality that somebody's preaching this to you because they want to get rich, you tell them, well, wait a minute, that ain't the way it works. I give it to the man of God, God gives me a blessing. I give it back to the man of God, God gives me another blessing. I'm going to be the rich one. Mm-hmm. The man of God will prosper, but I'm going to be the one that gets rich. I'm going to be the one that gets the blessing. I'm the one that's going to have, what did he say? In Proverbs, your barns will be what?
Full.
And your vats, your spirituality will be what? Running over. You know, my favorite preacher, Smith Wigglesworth, I love to read about him. I love to read about his life. But the one thing I always wondered about him, but I've grown to admire, is when Smith went into the ministry, he looked at God and he said one thing. He said, God, you've called me to be a minister and I'm going to go preach your gospel, but I'll tell you right now, God, that I can make more money as a plumber, because that's what he was, God, I'm walking. And I will go back to being a plumber. Do you know, the day that man died, he traveled first class on everything.
Amen.
And he never wanted for anything. And he told God flat out, the day I can make more money back in my plumbing business, I'm going to go back and be a plumber. But that's the way God works the first fruit offering. Now there's one more big blessing to the first fruit offering for us. Besides the fact that it goes to the man of God, and then we get a blessing back from that. Besides that, there's more. Let's look in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3. Only got three more scriptures and then we'll be done. And I want you guys to really research this, and if you think I'm crazy, I want you guys to come up and tell me so. But I don't think you're going to find anything crazy in this. I think you're going to find it's all the Word of God, and it's all traceable, and it's all real, and it's all just what you want to do. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his yield, and all those devouring him, meaning Israel, will be punished. Calamity shall come upon them, says the Lord. Okay, we go back to, remember this morning we were talking about Israel was God's chosen? Okay? God chose Israel, but what did he just say he did? Israel was his first fruits. And therefore, what happened to Israel? Everywhere we see him, even though God was mad and they had problems, God redeemed them even higher up, didn't he? Everywhere we see Israel, he redeemed them higher up. And even though Israel walked away from them, what does it say in Revelation? It says there will be a remnant. God's people, the Israelites, there will always be a remnant saved. Even though they don't actively see Jesus as their Savior, even though they don't confess Him as their Savior and take Him as their salvation, God's Word is true, His blessings are true, and there will be a remnant of the Israelites that will be in heaven with us.
Amen.
Because God made them His first fruit. And because God made them His first fruit, there's a blessing tied to that, and there will be a remnant in heaven. Says it in Revelation. Don't have time to go through that one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're winding down. 1 Corinthians 15. Did I hear an amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. We're getting into the New Testament now, the New Covenant. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The what? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as a man came by death, by a man also has come, what? The resurrection of the dead. What does Paul say Christ became for us? Paul says Christ entered into the grave. When He was resurrected, He was what? The first fruits of God. Christ became our first fruits. We are a first fruit of God like the Israel were after Christ. Now, finishing this up, let's go to Revelation chapter 14, a great hope for us. And you have to look at this in the idea that you and I are the first fruits of God. Chapter 14, Revelation 14, verse 4. Is it these who have not defiled themselves with the women? For they are chaste. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as the first fruits of God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are spotless. The true blessing of the first fruits is that we became, through Jesus, the first fruits. Jesus was what? God's firstborn. Therefore, He had to be what? God's first sacrifice. God sticks with His law. Think about it. God is so true. God is so always the great I am that God set up for His people. When you entered into the promised land, you give me the first fruits. I give you the rest. He set up His people that every time they had an increase, you give me the first fruits of it. I give you the rest. He had to give Jesus His only Son because His law required the first fruit be given. He gave the first fruit to die on the cross for us, be resurrected as the first fruit of the dead, so that we then could become sons and daughters of God. And as Revelation says, we were saved from mankind because we're the first fruits. Think about it. Real deep. Probably deeper than I should have gone. But I want you guys to look through these scriptures. I want you to dig through them, and I want you to prove me. If I'm wrong, and you find I'm wrong, tell me so. I have studied, I have read, I have looked, I have listened to preachers, and this message is coming to a lot more preachers than just me. God has a move on the horizon. There is a move of God on the horizon. There is a power happening. Just like Joy, our daughter, a girl 23 years old that started going bad at 9 years old, by 14 years old was doing drugs, probably by 18 years old or 17 years old, was an actively practicing gay girl who led every kind of disgusting part of her life she could think of, who turned her life to the Lord and is now preaching the gospel to everyone she can get her hands on. That is the move of God that's coming. It has nothing to do with Jay and Mary. We're not saints that can turn people around. It has to do with God's threes, God's keys. If we know God's keys, He'll bless us. He tells us with the first fruit offering, it's an offering of increase. He says with the tithe, I will rebuke the devourer. I will open the windows of heaven. And he says the offerings, he doesn't have any specific things for the offerings that you have to, you don't have to. The offering is out of your heart to him, but he says, I'll replace it. If you listen to me and give it, I'll replace it. If we want to see the movement of God come, the only way it can come is if we follow the keys that he's given us. Those keys will open the kingdom. And we will be that first fruit generation that is talked about in Revelation. But only if we follow the keys he gives us. And the only way we can find those keys is being in the Spirit of God while we're studying this. You can't understand God's Word without the Spirit of God to interpret it. It just doesn't work.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. Father, I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.